Please turn in the scripture to Acts chapter 1, page 788. As you're turning there, I'd like to just share a bit with you before we read. I grew up as a TV kid. I might be the first generation of the TV kid who, I mean, it was black and white, but then I got color when I was about 4 or 5. And I would always lose track of time whenever the TV was on. It was a gift to my parents that I just would be locked in, and I would always get a little bit sad, but I knew when this came on that it was over and I was gonna probably either have to go do something else. But that's what it was. That's all, folks. And I knew that the show was over. But something began to change, and I think it was before I even knew how to read, but when I saw this come on the screen, I didn't like it. Did not like that it was going to end, but it wasn't going to be over. Does anyone else hate cliffhangers? I mean, you can't even watch a drama on TV anymore without, oh, turn it, you gotta just wait, you're not gonna tell you those, like, just tell me the story. Now you have to go through seasons, and then you get through a season, and then what happens? Wait till next fall. It's like, no, I hate cliffhangers. And so whenever I saw this, that was just not a good day. That was not a good day. But worse than when Looney Tunes would have to be continued was my favorite show. That's right. Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time. Same bat station. Channel. Station. I couldn't. What was going to happen? Were Batman and Robin really going to suffocate in the plastic bag? Was the Penguin going to get them? Was the Joker really going to finally have his day and the Riddler get his last laugh? I hated that. Tune in tomorrow. And it always meant the next week. I don't know why they said tune in tomorrow. But when you read the story of Luke and you finish it, really you're left saying, wait a minute. Is that it? Jesus goes and now we're done? Well, no. So if you've got page 788 open, we can look at Acts. In my former book, Dear or Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if you read the end of the book of Acts, there's questions. Well, what's coming next? What's it going to be like? And I just want to give you a statement that really, in my understanding, encapsulates the book of Acts. So in these next weeks, we are going to be taking volume 2, or the sequel of the Gospel of Luke, going through the book of Acts. And here it is. Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. That's a little bit longer title than the book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles, but I really believe it's more accurate. And I believe that we're going to see this verse by verse, chapter by chapter, that Acts is really the continuing story of Jesus. So if we got to be continued at the end of Luke, this is the continuing. This is the continuing. So the last time we saw Jesus, he had called his disciples. He had been performing miracles. He had been revealing the will and the heart of God through his teaching. He had told them he had brought his kingdom, and that's really where all these things were taking place, the healings, the exorcisms, setting people free, again, teaching them this is what God wants for you. This is what it means to live under my rule. Jesus brought his kingdom. But then it seemed to not go so well, and yet he was crucified, but then he rose from the dead 3 days later, and then he began to appear to his disciples and to many. Paul tells us it was more than 500. And during that time, and Luke tells us here in Acts chapter 1, it was about 40 days. During that time, he was showing them in the scripture just exactly who he is. Now, they couldn't see everything during his earthly life. And when he came back, he said, this is who I am. And he taught them from the beginning to the end, from the law all the way through the writings and the Psalms, the prophets included, that it all bore witness to Jesus, that he had to suffer, that he'd be raised again, and that he would rule, and he would give his Holy Spirit. See, it's continuing. The first volume, Luke wrote all about what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke of the kingdom of God. And he said, now you're going to have to wait here. Whenever you read the Bible, probably this would be good for anything that we're actually going to be considering to give our attention to, we want to ask the 5 W's and the H. You always want to be asking, don't just open your Bible, read it, finish the passage and close it. You want to ask very simple questions. Who? Who's it talking about? Who's the focus of the passage? What? What's going on? What am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to learn? What's happening here? You want to ask when. When does it take place? In my study Bible, I've learned from Kay Arthur, she has this process or encouragement that whenever you're reading through the Bible, make a little symbol of a clock. Anytime you see some reference to timing. So I have all these little clocks all over my Bible. So when something is taking place, is it taking place at that moment, or is it talking about something that's going to happen on another time? So it's the when, it's the time reference. You want to ask the question where, because the Bible was not written in Fresno, California in 2016. Okay, while it is for us, we also have to link ourselves back to where the context of the passage is addressing. And then we want to ask why. Either why is this event taking place? Why is it happening this way? Or why is it even in the Bible? You want to ask questions. You don't want to just be sitting there. And you also want to finish with how. Am I supposed to be copying what I see there? Well, if I'm going to do that, how am I supposed to do that? Or how did this happen? This doesn't look like it happens like this now. How did it happen then? So you want to be engaging yourself. And as we begin the book of Acts, I'm going to give it away. The who is Jesus. He didn't just go away and sit on a throne somewhere. He is at the right hand of the Father now, but this is the continuing story of Jesus. This is the continuing story of Jesus. And the what is the kingdom of God? Did you notice here he said he was speaking to them over this period of 40 days about the kingdom of God. And I would imagine that that would have a pretty strong impact. You're looking face to face with a person you saw hanging dead on a cross. You saw him breathe his last, he dies, a spear pokes in his side, blood and looks like water comes pouring out, and now he's talking to you? He's saying, hey, can I have that? Are you going to leave that fish there? I'll have it if you're not done with it. He's eating with them. He's saying, oh, take a look, my hands, go ahead, take a look here. Yeah, that was my side. He's alive. The king could not be conquered. Not even death could conquer our king. And so the what of the book of Acts is the kingdom of God. Jesus has established his kingdom on planet Earth. Yes, he rules in heaven, but his kingdom is being established here and now. But when, you gotta love this, when, and then we get this wait, hang on, don't go anywhere. And then where, you gotta wait in Jerusalem. Well, why? Because I'm going away to rule, and there's also the how is also part of the why. I need to go to heaven so you can receive the Holy Spirit. So these are some basic parameters that as we look at the book of Acts, as you read it, and I hope you'll be reading it on your own, that who, what, when, where, why, how, that you'll be asking these questions as you read through the book of Acts. Well, Jesus, again, it's pretty clear Luke wants us to know that it's about Jesus. The what is the kingdom, but you'll notice that the disciples get a little stuck on when and where. Verse 6, we read, then they gathered around him and said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He has opened their mind. They see he's the Lord of all. Yes, he's told them that they're going to go everywhere, but they're stuck in the here and now. Is it now? Is it now, Jesus? Is it now? Is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen here? And so he actually reverses it. No, it's not primarily the when and the where. It's really the who. It's really the who. They ask, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates. The Father is set by his own authority. And as much as I love the focus on knowing when Jesus is going to return, when and where is not the primary question. When and where is not. I want to know when Jesus is returning. I want to know if he's going to return in my lifetime. I would love that. But he says, thanks for asking. Actually, he doesn't say thanks for asking. He just says, it's none of your business. Maybe that's a little bit crass, but he says, it's not for you to know the dates and the times. No, the Father has set that by his authority. And I really think he says it this way because while he doesn't tell us when, he says, I've got it covered. And don't you find that when you're waiting for something, that you really don't need to know the exact timing as long as you know it's covered? Isn't that right? Am I going to get a new job? Or are my children ever going to be obedient? Or is it going to rain? God tells us, I've got it covered. God is not just some distant deity. He says to each one of us, the question you have of timing, and I imagine every one of us has some question of timing. He says, I'm not going to tell you. But really, is when the issue? No, it's who. I've got it covered. The Father has it covered. And so right here, right now, would you please tell him, Lord, I'll trust you. You have a question of when, but would you just tell him right here, right now, Father, I know you know. I know you have the dates and times, not just of your son's return, but of my life. You've got it covered. And ask him to give you the peace that comes from that assurance that he knows what's going on. And he does have it covered. If he's got Jesus, if he's got his son's return, that's the next most important event in all of creation. He's got my life covered, and he's got yours. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his authority. But, we're not going to talk about that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The big who for our benefit is the promised Spirit. It's not going to be like the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit would come upon kings and would come upon prophets for particular acts of service and particular tasks. It's now going to be different. The prophecies in Joel and in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah and Isaiah, the Spirit is going to come and he is going to remain. I want you to get this. What we are going to witness in the book of Acts, what we as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ experience, is something far greater than anything Abraham experienced, anything Moses experienced, anything David, Daniel, pick your favorite Old Testament character. Elijah's like, oh, I wish I could be like, you know what? It's better now. Jesus goes to be with the Father and he's sending his Spirit so that we would receive power. This week I've been doing a lot of praying. Because sometimes you just see your lack. Do you ever have those weeks that you just, woof, I'm coming up short in a lot of ways. And a couple of them have been in the areas of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you ever come up short on those? This has been one of those weeks. And as I've studied in Acts 1 about the promise of the Spirit coming, I have hope. I have hope because the Spirit is not just going to be something that floats, but it's for you. The Holy Spirit's presence is for you and for me. His presence and his power is for you and for me. So it's not when and where, it's who. Which of you would love to experience verse 8? Don't raise your hands. But if in your heart you want to say, oh Lord, could I have that too? That you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Lord, I sure hope you're still doing that today. If there's any one of you who has that desire, say, oh Lord, please, please don't let this just be something that I read about. Could this be something that I could experience in the spring and summer and fall of 2016? Could this be for me today? Ask. And if for some reason you don't think that that's a need, I just want to point to you that if your life right now would be the ultimate argument for the validity of Christianity, don't ask. Don't ask that the Spirit would be your power and strength. But I'll tell you, and I don't mean that, well, I do mean it personally to me, to us as your body values, to us as a church, we cannot, if we are not the best the grace of God can do. Take it personally. It's got to be better than this. It's got to be better than our worries. It's got to be better than our lack of acceptance and love. It's got to be better than gosh, our unfaithfulness. It's got to be better than our brashness and our lack of gentleness. Just go through. Joy? How's your joy this week? No, right? There's got to be more. There's got to be more to your Christian experience, because if this is all we have, I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and doubt that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Can I get an amen? If my life is the argument that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, okay, don't judge me. How about your life? We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be, as Jesus says, his witnesses, and it's not just going to stay in Jerusalem. The where goes way beyond. And this is really the outline of the book of Acts. We're going to start in Jerusalem, then we're going to do Judea and Samaria, and then by the time we reach chapter 28, Paul's in Rome, and we've gone to the ends of the earth. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Would you read this with me? Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. Let's one more time. Jesus is continuing to establish his kingdom by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit through his witnesses. Our passage ends with the guys looking up into the sky, and then the men in white, likely angels, say, hey guys, what are you doing looking up in the sky? And if it's me, it's like, well, he just left, and I'm wondering, is he going to come back down right now? I mean, he's gone. He's been disappearing in and out of the rooms for the last 40 days, and so, I mean, maybe he's behind the cloud. Is it going to clear? It's like, oh, there he is. Okay, I guess I want to all the way to heaven. But then, what are you doing? And I think that same question is for me and for you. What are you doing? Are you just going to look up into the sky? You're just going to come to church and worship on Sunday mornings? Is that what we're going to do? We're just going to, oh, Jesus, you're amazing. Jesus. Oh, no, that's a cloud. Sorry. What are we doing? What are we doing? See, I think this part is here, and it comes as an invitation. Will you and I be part of this continuing story of Jesus establishing his kingdom? Will we be a part of that? Will we experience the Holy Spirit's presence and power so we can be witnesses, his witnesses? I'm going to say yes. This study, finishing Luke and starting in Acts, has my world turned upside down. I want to be a part of the continuing story. I want to be a part of that. And my invitation to you, and I believe Luke gives it to us here, is will you? Stay tuned. Amen. Would you please just bow your heads as those who are going to assist in serving communion, prepare themselves, if you'll prepare yourselves and come forward. I would love for you just to bow your heads. And I'd love for you to ask that the Holy Spirit would work in your life. love for you to say yes, that you will be